I don't care who you know, how much money you have, what influence you carry.
Dr. Tony Evans says when you push God aside, someone or something else will take his place.
So when you leave the God, you're going to wind up with some God that is dictating your worldview. Then the culture will be in control.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. We live in a world where truth has become whatever people decide it is. But that humanistic outlook isn't new. It's the same kind of mindset that pulled God's people off track in the book of Judges. Today, Dr. Evans explains how Israel's spiritual compromise led to cultural collapse and why returning to God's truth is still the only way to reverse the consequences. Let's listen.
This book chronicles the cycle that God's people went through as they departed from God. God disciplines them, and then the process of them getting restored back because of their departure from God. And so you see these cycles. And the way they got restored back was God would raise up a judge. And this judge would be the inspiration to bring the people back to God and cancel out or reverse the consequences. So as we deal with this series on consequences, the good news, which we will get to, is that God is able to reverse the effects, limit the effects. He does it in a number of ways of consequences when there has been a return back to him. And so that's the good news of this, and we see this worked out in the book. Well, Joshua has passed off the scene and things go south. We ended last time with verse 10. All that generation of chapter 2 also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Parents had failed to transfer the faith to their children. There was a generational spiritual breakdown. And the generational spiritual breakdown that took place brought about decline in the culture. One of the things that the end of the book of Malachi says is that when the messenger of God comes, he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Why is this restoration necessary? This restoration was necessary because when the family breaks down, civilization breaks down with it. Look at how many social issues we are facing today due to family breakdown. Now, the parents had seen the work of God, book of Joshua. They had enough experience with God to know the truth and to operate with the truth and saw the power of the truth. But they got comfortable with their faith and failed to transfer it. So I've got to say a word to the parents here. Deuteronomy 6, over and over again, says the parent, teach your children the ways of God. They may not see the benefit of it now. They may not even want it now. But one day they're going to need it. And you've got to put it in them. And I know some of us, that kids are older now, it's not as easy to do. You do what you can and ask God to make up the slack for the years that the locusts have taken away. And God can do that. It's interesting, Deuteronomy 6 goes on to say, it says, teach them individual life, family life, put it on the doorpost, and then civic life. He says, teach them how to function at the gates. The gates was the civic arena. So they had to learn how to function personally. They had to learn how to function in a family setting. They had to learn how to function in society, okay? That good citizens as Christians. He says, you've got to instill these principles. The whole book of Proverbs, You read over and over again, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son. It's a father talking to a son throughout the whole book on how to live a wise life. We certainly want our children to avoid some of the mistakes we've made, right? And we want them to be able to have a right perspective on life. So we have a generation that did not know the Lord, we're told, and therefore there was a breakdown, or to put it in everyday language, family disaster will lead to national disaster. They did not know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. Why did they need to know what he had done for Israel? Because they needed to know what God could do for them in their generation. And so this transfer is absolutely critical, and we need to take it a lot more seriously than, unfortunately, many people are taking it today. So then, okay, so we go into verse 9. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Here we are talking about Baal. He is the dominant idol in the Old Testament and certainly in the book of Judges. Baal was looked to provide fertility of the soil so the crops would grow, fertility of the animals so that they would have plenty of farm animals and reproduction there, fertility of human reproduction. Let's put it another way. Mother Nature took the place of Father God. Okay? They looked to the natural realm, but they had an idol. So it became a religious thing because humanism is religion. Science can even be a religion because you're looking to the creation to take care of you, not the creator, which when we get to Romans 1 talks about that, trading the creator for the creation. So they appeal to Baal and they sin in the sight of God. They ascribe power to nature in the name of Baal. He says the Baals. He says it plural because that's like saying the church, but then having churches. So there was Baal, and then there were the smaller places of operation for the worship of this God. Why did they go to Baal? Because the faith had not been transferred. Back to verse 10. So they sin in the sight of God, and Baalism became a philosophy of life. It was the way you lived your life. You lived your life Baalistically. That is, with this mindset or orientation, it became a culture of living. And so they served the Baals. That is, they operated their lifestyle based on this religious frame of reference. So they're departing from God, and they forsook the Lord, verse 12, the God of their fathers. They followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples, verse 12 says, who were among them. Okay, watch that. What are they doing? They are following the culture that they're in. Let's put it another way. They did not rub off on the culture rubbed off on them. So this is where the school system is rubbing off on your children, or the media is rubbing off on your children. In other words, they have left the Lord because it wasn't a transfer. And as a result of them leaving the Lord, they bought into the cultural lies, all due to a lack of transfer. So they buy into this cultural lie, philosophy, education, secularism. Man becomes Lord over nature. And of course, they forsook the Lord and served, verse 13, Baal and Ashtaroth, which is Baal's girlfriend or Baal's wife. So it's a family affair here. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel. He gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies around them so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Okay? Please notice, no spiritual transfer. They left God. God then allows the evil system that they were now submitting themselves to rule them. So when you leave the God, you're going to wind up with some God. You're going to wind up with some influence that is dictating your worldview. And when you and I wander from the true God and we wind up with this false view of man that tries to be God, has a false view of nature, and operate, then the culture will be in control. One of the reasons why our culture today is becoming so secular is because so many of God's children have wandered from God, and we've got a generation who don't even know what we're talking about. So that wandering produces what we see here, and that is this spiritual departure. God's anger burned because of their departure. And then we have the key phrase of the book. Let me read 15 and go to 16. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. Okay. I'm sure they called it what we call it, bad luck. Bad luck. My luck is sure nothing's working for me. Wait a minute. It says God was against them. So whatever they sought to make better, God was against them. And as you've heard me say many times, if God is your problem, I don't care who you know, how much money you have, what influence you carry, if God is resisting you, you're not going to get very far for very long. Okay? But he was resisting them because they rejected him. And so his hand was against them. And that's what we're seeing in so many of our lives today, God resisting us. So they were severely distressed. That means depressed. They were depressed because nothing was working out. So the key phrase in the book is verse 16. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to the judges, for they played the harlot after other gods, bowed themselves down to them. They turned aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandment of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers. When the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them from the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groanings because of those who had oppressed and afflicted them. Well, and that's the whole book right there, summarizing those verses. They depart from the Lord. The Lord feels sorry for them. God raises up a deliverer for them. The deliverer delivers them. But when the deliverer dies, they go back to the idols. The point is that they would wander back from God. So this cycle is the cycle of the book. So God would raise up a person in order to lead the people back to him when the people were crying out for their condition. And so, but when the judge died, verse 19, they would turn back and act more corruptly. They got worse than their fathers, and following other gods and serving them, bowing down to them. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel because of this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers. I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. When you go back to Joshua, God is driving folk out. He's opening doors. That's how we would say it today. He's opening doors. He's creating things. He's making things happen. But he says, when you leave me, I'm no longer going to make stuff happen. Why would I help you leave me out?
Dr. Evans will return in just a moment to explain why God sometimes lets challenges remain in our lives and what that teaches us about obedience. First, though, I want to let you know about the current resource offer we're making available to our listeners. It starts with Tony's powerful book, Kingdom Authority. From its pages, you'll learn about the divine right God gives believers to live a victorious life and how you can harness that power to overcome challenges, resist temptation, and live a purpose-driven life. Along with the Kingdom Authority book, you'll also receive all 12 messages from Tony's current broadcast series, exploring the biblical book of Judges. These messages reveal the consequences of moral compromise and illuminate the dangers of turning to worldly solutions in times of crisis. The Kingdom Authority book and Judges series are yours when you make a contribution to help us keep The Alternative coming your way each day. And there's an additional bonus available for those who want to dig even deeper when you contact us at tonyevans.org. You can find out how to add the Kingdom Authority Leaders Kit to your package. Get all the details and make the arrangements at tonyevans.org or give our Resource Center a call any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222, where one of our helpful team members is ready to assist you. We'll get back to Dr. Evans with today's exploration of the Book of Judges right after this.
How do you share the gospel with confidence? What's God's plan for our communities? Why does the Old Testament matter to your faith today? Those are just a few of the questions you'll get answered when you enroll in the Tony Evans Training Center, an interactive online study experience with Dr. Tony Evans, where you can grow in your knowledge of God's Word and learn to advance His kingdom agenda in your life. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to get started today. That's TonyEvansTraining.org.
So now, we come to a very interesting set of verses as we close out chapter 2. He says in verse 20, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. Okay, the key word, which you'll see come up again, is in verse 22, in order to test Israel. It's easy to say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to do what you say do. Get me out of this time. How many say, Lord, get me out of this one? Anybody ever said that to God? Okay, then I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And for the moment, we probably mean it. But given enough time and nothing's going wrong, God says, I left the nations there. I didn't clean them all out. It was a promised land. Y'all in charge of the promised land. But I didn't let Joshua drive out everybody because I wanted to demonstrate for you to see whether you're talking smack and you're going to go serve other gods, or whether you're talking truth. It's called a test. A test is where God allows a negative reality in your life so you can see what you're going to do. God already knows what you're going to do. So he's not shocked by what you're going to do. It validates or invalidates your own commitment. And of course, then you understand why God reacts the way he does. So if God has left a problem, Canaanites were the problem. If he still got some Canaanites in your world, in your space, you know, you pray for him to get rid of it all and he done left a little something, something there. He calls it a test. And the purpose of the test, he says, is to see whether you will keep the way of the Lord. Because you need to know whether your commitment is real or not. And it's not just real because you feel it right now and say it right now. It's whether you will follow through in what he says. So this leads us to chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left. So he goes in and he lists some of the nations that were left behind. And he gives an interesting reason why in verse 2. Only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formally. So he left them there for a test, but he also says, I also left them there for another reason. I need to teach them how to fight because this new generation hadn't been in a fight. Well, all through these battles you're going to see as we go through the book of Judges, are holy wars. In other words, they are spiritual battles being fought, but on a physical battlefield. When you read the book of Joshua, where they had to fight all these nations coming from Joshua, God would tell them how to fight, and every fight was different for every different place. Joshua had to be in communication with God in order to know how to fight Jericho and Ai and all the different groups. And there was all these different strategies when we went through the book of Joshua that God used to fight because it was a spiritual war. So what is the point? The point is they had to learn how to fight spiritually, not just physically. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says that in verses 4 and 5, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it is for the destruction of wrong thinking. He wants to teach them how to fight as they fought when they followed Joshua, as Joshua followed God. He had all these weird, nobody would think about marching around a wall as a battle strategy, but that was the strategy God gave. And if you don't know how to listen to God, then you're not going to use God's strategy. You're going to go straight to the world, or you're going to borrow from the Canaanites. Verse 4, for they were for testing Israel to find out if they would obey the commandments of God. Okay, well, watch this. He's teaching them how to wage war. Well, how are you going to wage war? Well, I'm going to give you a test. I'm going to see whether you will obey my commandments. Because you can only wage war spiritually, because it's a holy war. You can only wage spiritual war by my word. You cannot wage spiritual war with your word. Okay, so here we go. We're marching to our first judge here. Verse 7, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord, their God, and served the Baals and the Asheroth. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the sons of Israel served them 8 years. Okay, watch this. Their enemies were ruling over them because they left God. This is God's covenantal people. The covenantal people of God today is the church. Because they had left God, the evil world was ruling them. Verse 9, when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, not until they cried. Crying to the Lord in the Bible speaks of desperation. This is not, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. That's not crying unto the Lord. Crying unto the Lord means you have come to the end of yourself. You have gotten desperate because things have gotten that bad. The reason that they got that bad was so they would cry. That is, they would get serious about calling on God. When, after, it took them 8 years to cry. I'm sure that plenty of us could talk about all the years. We kept trying to fix it, kept trying to solve it, kept trying to deal with it. And maybe you went to church, maybe you did that, but you ain't crazy. You ain't get desperate. Why? Because you were still dealing with the Canaanites. But now they cry to the Lord. It took 8 years. The Lord raised up a deliverer. So he raises up this judge. A judge was basically a civil ruler that God raised up to bring about deliverance and vengeance against God's enemies. So they were 8 years a slave, but now they've gotten 40 years of peace. And what made the transfer from 8 years of defeat to 40 years of victory? Crying out. Their desperate cry reversed their situation because it drove them back to God. So let me just say by word of application to any who are here who are going through year after year after year of defeat, have you cried out? Have you disconnected from the idols, including yourself? And have you thrown yourself completely on God and God's ways? They didn't just pray. They recommitted themselves to fully following God because that was the test. Would you listen to my commandments? Have you thrown yourself to him for deliverance? God raised up somebody that they didn't know he was going to raise up. How God's going to do it, I don't have the slightest idea. Who's God's going to use? I don't have the slightest idea. But he raises up what his means are at his time to bring about the deliverance. It says, Othniel died, verse 11. Uh-oh. Says they were good till a judge died. Now the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So they didn't go on left because their leader left, died. And so they didn't have the leader. And so they go left. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Eglon is their enemy, Israel's enemy. God raises up the enemy, like he did in the previous situation, because they departed from God. You would have thought they would have stayed with God after 40 years. But see, the problem is you can get used to God's goodness. God's goodness for all of us can become common. In fact, it's not till things go left long enough that we remember how important God is to everything. But when God is good month after month, year after year, decade after decade, you got four decades that you're enjoying the goodness of God. And when that reminder is not there and the judge is gone, they return right back to that. And so God had to raise up Eglon. And he gathered himself to the sons of Ammon and Amalek, and he went and defeated Israel and possessed the city of the palm trees. The city of the palm trees was the area of Jericho. And the sons of Israel served Eglon for 18 years. So now, please notice the phrase, served Eglon for 18 years. It says they served Eglon. So here's how you can know or have a sense that you are far from God versus close to God. And that is, that which should be serving you, you are serving it. Say that again. That which should be serving you is holding you hostage. That is a good indication. Not the fact of having the trials, because the enemies, God left the enemies there. So it's not that there weren't problems around them. In this world, you're going to have problems, but it's now the problems that were around them were now owning them. They were serving Eglon. They did what Eglon said do. Go where Eglon says go. It was bossing you around, and it was the illegitimate boss because it was the enemy of God. When that which should not be controlling you is controlling you or me or us, we have to raise the question about our spiritual distance.
Dr. Tony Evans on the roots of spiritual breakdown and the importance of keeping our focus on God. Now, if you'd like to have a copy of today's message to review on your own or pass along to a friend, just contact us for details on the title, The Rise of the Judges. Better yet, get this message as a part of Tony's current two-volume teaching series, simply titled Judges. Remember, right now, for a limited time, you can get all 12 lessons in this collection as our gift, along with Tony's powerful book, Kingdom Authority. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are ready to help you 24/7. And don't forget to ask how to upgrade your offer to include the Kingdom Authority Leaders Kit. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. When your stomach's empty, you know it's time to eat. But what about when your soul feels empty? How do you recognize spiritual hunger, and what do you do about it? Next time, Dr. Evans shows how developing a deeper appetite for the things of God opens the door to divine provision and renewed passion. Be sure to join us.